But you need to make sure you add value and actually help people before you start asking for favors, right? So like this house hack, it was probably like my fifth purchase, and I'd worked with the same team for the most part throughout, like the same lenders, title company, like rinse and repeat. I bring them business, you know, make sure I'm easy to work with. And so basically anywhere I spend money with any vendor, I'm like, hey, what you got? It's me.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, Yona Weiss. That's right, that's me. And today we have a great guest. I'm excited to speak with Sunita Rao. We got her all the way in from Indianapolis. What's going on? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you? I'm super excited to talk to you today.
All right. Well, I'm doing great. It's a great day. Happy to be speaking with you. So I mean, why are you happy to speak with me? I don't really know why.
You're the cost seg expert. Are you kidding me? Your reputation precedes you. This is this is how you know that I'm a nerd, that I am super excited. This doesn't mean that you're a nerd. Oh, you know what? Let's just like rewind.
We're good. Keep it going. Keep it flowing.
I'm a big fan of your expertise. We'll just leave it at that.
There you go. Okay. I appreciate that. That's cool.
I realized where I was going and I was like, hold on, let's back up.
It's all good. No, the funny thing is, like, I have a very privileged job that I work in because I save people like tens of thousands, millions of dollars sometimes. So when you like save people all that kind of money, they happen to like you. And so it's a great position to be in, right?
Surprising how that works, right?
Yeah, there you go. Oh, we like this guy. But anyways, a little background for our listeners who don't know who you are. I mean, I've heard you, if you guys check out the Bigger Pockets podcast, she was a guest on a couple of those. The Money Podcast as well. She is a real estate investor, like almost all the guests that we have on this podcast. What a surprise. But she came into this similar to everyone else in a roundabout way. And I'd love to get a little bit of background and story. One notable thing that if you know, do any research or have heard on any podcast, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit today, is that you had a career in as a professional tennis player, which is pretty fascinating. I love talking to professional and even retired professional athletes because, and Olympian at that, right? You competed in the Olympics. So that's incredible because to me that shows a great amount of, I mean, well, I don't know what it shows, but one thing it does show is that, you know, there's perseverance that comes in that. There's commitment, you know, the amount of training that one has to go through in order to become at that level. That skill set is intense. So you still have that intensity. I didn't form any question there. I just.
It's okay. I can talk to the wind. We're good. I'll pick up where you left off. So, I mean, yes, there were, I think I spent almost 10 years playing tennis professionally, and there were a lot of things that I took away from the sport that actually ended up bringing me to real estate in a very roundabout way, which was really interesting. So like being a professional athlete, there are highs, there are lows. One of the things that I liked about it was that it's pretty autonomous. Like I get to decide, well, me and my coach, if I have one at the time, but like we decide when I train, essentially when I work, you know, like build out that schedule. Like it feels like you have a lot more control. And I think one of the things I really struggled with when I entered corporate America was that it was so defined and so rigid, and I had to be in this box, like in terms of when I worked, how I acted, like what I said. And I was just like, it was just a real struggle, you know, I felt like I wanted to be free, and that wasn't really it. But that was not what led me to real estate. I'm going off on a tangent. I blame it on you.
It's all my fault, everything.
But what I really liked was the ability to combine things that that were really important to me with things that I wanted to do. So I got to travel a lot while I was competing. I got to experience a lot of different things while I was competing. And then, you know, when I went into the workforce, it felt like I had to give up a lot. And I also felt like I had a lot less say in my future. So when you're playing a sport, a lot of it depends on your competitor, obviously, right? And how you show up, but you feel like you have a better chance at determining your destiny versus entering a corporation where you, a large multinational company, where you're just like a guinea pig on a wheel. And there's thousands of guinea pigs right there with you. And it's like, wow, how this is it. How do I get from where I am to where I want to go? And that was one of the things that I really loved about real estate when I got into it, was that you have a much better chance of influencing your future and your financial future that way.
So when you say getting into real estate, you went hands, all in, right? In terms of
close. So maybe not close. I don't know. Someone else can determine that. But yeah, I was living in Boston. I started investing at a distance. I started investing in Indianapolis. I didn't go full time in that I quit my job. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very fiscally conservative. So I actually still do have a full-time job.
Oh, okay.
My real estate has allowed me to, I was in corporate finance for 6 years almost, and my real estate allowed me to step off the corporate finance track. I actually work for a personal finance podcast called Afford Anything now.
Oh, nice.
Very much in line with like my beliefs and what I want to do with my life, which is, help people. Financial literacy is so important. So I'm very blessed in that and very grateful for the fact that I could step off and do something that's more aligned. I didn't have to constantly be chasing those dollars that a corporate finance career brings, but I do real estate at nights, on weekends, and during lunch, and sometimes during the day. And then I work nights, weekends, and during lunch if I have to, So it's kind of a balance.
Oh, okay, cool. So you were able to actually make your own hours or have a more flexible schedule, I guess.
100%. Yes.
That's awesome. Yes. All right. So, that really aligns with, like you said, aligns with your beliefs, aligns with what you feel your powers are, right? You're able to probably accomplish a tremendous amount more just having that freedom.
At least a lot more personal fulfillment, which I feel like makes me feel more successful, because I think, and I'm skipping a whole lot of podcasts right now, but that helps me feel more successful, that I can have a better say in my life. I can work when it feels good. When I need a little time, I can take it and then get back to it so that I can be at my best. I feel like when you're forced to do something, when you know you're not at your best, that can kind of bring you down a little bit. So
for sure,
that's not something I'm forced to do as much, which is really nice.
Absolutely. And let's get into the real estate a little bit. I mean, tell me, because real estate is huge, right? It's a huge industry. Yeah. Many people are doing many different things in it. Obviously you are an investor. But what types of properties, what type of real estate are you focused on, if you have any? And maybe tell me a little bit more about that background.
Sure. So I've been investing for almost 4 years now. I am a buy and hold investor, primarily long-term rentals. I have a short-term rental. I'm looking to expand into that area more. Mm. I have most of my acquisitions have been purchased with my own money. So I also do a lot of house hacking, which means getting into a home with owner-occupant financing, which is lower, cheaper, more advantageous to the borrower, and then using that to turn my homes into long-term rentals. So that's really been extremely helpful for me. I'm able to house hack now as a local investor in Indianapolis. However, I started as a long-distance investor, living in Boston, working the corporate finance job. I was in grad school almost full-time. I started my business investing out here in Indianapolis, and I'm very, very passionate about both house hacking and long distance investing, because both have changed my life significantly. If you look at the cities that are the most expensive in the US and the most populated, they are a lot of times one and the same, right? So that leaves you with a significant amount of people who are going to have a hard time tapping into the wealth generator that is real estate, even if you're not as obsessed with it as many people are to use it to truly build wealth, it's still a great vehicle to better your financial future. So I'm very, very passionate about the ability to long distance invest, and then also house hacking. Okay. So currently I live in a duplex. Most of my mortgage is covered. I got into this, it's almost $250,000 duplex with $700 to the closing table. And then, a lot of my mortgage has been paid for, and it's been really good. And I think a lot of people don't realize how accessible home ownership can be. That is not to take away from the fact that home prices are consistently increasing. And who knows how much higher they're going to be going with inflation and the fact that interest rates are going to be increased basically every quarter for the next 3 to 4 years, right? Those are the projections. But I think knowing what the tools are to help people invest and optimize their financial future is so critical. It's only been in the last I don't know, maybe 10 years that like pensions have gone away, right? So we've gone to a system where there are systems out there to protect you and your financial future and take care of you long term. They're no longer there. And a lot of people haven't quite made the shift from not having to worry about their future to having to worry about the future and taking action accordingly.
Seriously. And not enough people even know that they have to take, you know, take toll of that and even consider planning for the future. Like no one teaches that in school. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's definitely not something I was taught. And I certainly know it wasn't something you were taught because I've listened to your podcast and you dropped out of school. So,
well, yes, I did. I love the way you said it though. But I will say, so like for those who don't know me, I dropped out after sixth grade, right? And so that means I didn't get like a lot of American history. I didn't get the advanced algebra, the geometry, and all of that hasn't really held me back in life.
Right.
What I see holding people back from living their best lives is not understanding how debt works, like not understanding the rules that wealthy people use to protect wealth and take care of the next generation versus everyone else who's just trying to get by day to day. You don't, like, this is an extreme example, but like, you don't see people who are working class worry about like death taxes on an investment, right? Whereas people who are wealthy, when generations pass on, all of a sudden, like they have to think about how are we going to protect this, you know? And then they do that and the next generation set up to succeed. So it's like things like that. It's just such a different mindset.
Totally. Totally different mindset. Yeah. I didn't mean to pick on you saying you're driving. That
wasn't my intention whatsoever. You can pick on me whenever you want. It was just funny.
I thought it would be funny, but no, the truth is, I think you're right. Like I can't really point to that much in, you know, junior high, middle school, high school that I actually learned. Okay. I mean, obviously I learned a lot of stuff, right? And I was really into history personally and that, but like practical, like, was any of that practical? And they say that you need, it really just teaches you to think and critical thinking and these kind of things. Okay. I buy that. I believe that. I guess everyone's bought into that to a certain extent, but I think the freedom to be able to create what now at a later point in life where you've, you know, been able to read on your own, been able to find podcasts, been able to find really the things that are helping you to live your better life. Mm-hmm. That's powerful. And that's probably what you're, I mean, if you're going to have children, probably what you're going to give over to them.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. It's what are the skills needed to succeed? It's great to, you need to be able to learn how to think. It's the ability to critically think that will get you ahead, but it's the emotional intelligence, learning what levers turn the world that will really help, you know? And I think one thing that I've really benefited from being in the real estate community is that it seems to be a community of people who want to optimize. It doesn't matter what. You know, it could be travel hacking. It could be how you think, you know, like thinking about thinking, metacognition, like learning different things to make your life better, which I think has been an amazing byproduct of being in real estate and being involved in these communities.
That's awesome. When you say these communities, like what type of communities are you involved in?
So I think communities, I use that term loosely. It's just, it's people who have like-minded interests, you know, who see that maybe the path that everyone takes is not necessarily the one that will make everyone the happiest and being willing to chase that. So for me, obviously, that's been like real estate investors. That's people who realize that just working a job might not be enough to take care of them, you know, or working in a place where everything you do comes before life is not the way to go, you know? Yeah. So that those networks are built through places like Bigger Pockets, you know, online communities like that, going to conferences, meeting people who think like you, because for the most part, we are a very small subset of the population.
Sure.
So you need to find people who are yours in order to succeed.
Yeah. And it's like you said, like it is really a community when you think about it, the people that have like-minded growth kind of orientation, but are focused on real estate. And I think, I mean, people you hang out with, people that you spend the time with, you know, the famous quote that you are the average of the five people that you spend most time with. It really is true. I mean, I've seen it in my life clearly. And I mean, I honestly don't spend time with many people whatsoever, but you know, I'm definitely an average of a lot of the people that I have spent time with over a long period of time. But are you part of any, like, are there any in Indianapolis, like any real estate clubs or meetups or anything like that? Is anything
I think not as much anymore. There was for a while. I had a meetup that I was running for a little bit, but then once COVID came along, that kind of shut things down. And it hasn't really picked back up since. People kind of, I think, adapted to a new way of life. And then it's harder to bring people back in. And it's harder to bring myself back in. So I would say not really, but in Indianapolis, but with technology these days, you don't really need to be. Exactly. So a lot of Zoom calls, like happy hours like that, it's a good way to maintain those communities.
Yeah, no, that sounds like fun. I mean, we have a weekly meetup, not monthly. We do every Wednesday, have a group of people get together and have a speaker and a kind of meetup type thing. But it's an incredible on Zoom, and it's an amazing thing because you're getting people who are looking to learn, looking to grow. I mean, that's someone who's taking time out of their day or out of their evening when they could be just like, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV or Netflix or whatever people do. I don't even know what people do, but are taking their time to educate themselves and to network and to build their, you know, their future. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a sacrifice, and it's a testament to their character, I think.
Sure. So you mentioned in passing, and I caught it kind of very vaguely, that you spent like $700 to buy a duplex. Like, what is that? How does that happen? Just fill me in on that. Yeah, I know.
So that's the beauty of FHA financing. That's, I think, the very first thing. So FHA financing means that it's Fannie Freddie backed, and that you only have to put the FHA loan, you only have to put 3.5% of the purchase price down. Mm-hmm. So it already starts off much lower in terms of cash you need to bring to the table in order to close on a loan.
Right.
Then comes the power of relationships and asking, because if you never ask, you don't get. But you need to make sure you add value and actually help people before you start asking for favors, right? So like this house hack, it was probably like my fifth purchase, and I'd worked with the same team for the most part throughout, like the same lenders, title company, like rinse and repeat. I bring them business, you know, make sure I'm easy to work with. And so basically anywhere I spend money with any vendor, I'm like, hey, what you got? It's me. And so after, I don't ask that right away, but after doing half a dozen transactions with different like inspectors, et cetera, like they're like, okay, well, we'll give you a break, you know? So I was able to get credits from my lender, from my title company. And then I was very easy to work with the sellers. And this doesn't obviously ever translate or always translate to credits, but I was able to negotiate other credits that they would be willing to pay if I gave them X, Y, Z. So each one brought down my closing costs a little bit, to the point where when I got there, I only had to pay $700 for this house, which is pretty cool.
That is amazing. But it also just goes to show you, right? It's a long-term, you know, game, right? It's an investment. That's not something that you could necessarily pull off on your first deal, right?
Also, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, who are you to be going in and asking for favors? Like, you know, it was like 3 years in and multiple transactions and making sure that I'd made them money before I ever asked for anything in return.
But that's awesome. I mean, it just goes to show you have power, you have opportunities, you have you know, people to kind of rely on or get value from when you are focused on first providing value, right? Going out of your way to helping other people, bringing them business, adding value to them. At a certain point, it's almost, you know, a given that they're willing to go above and beyond for you.
Yeah, it's kind of like what you give is what you receive.
For sure.
What goes around comes around.
That's awesome. Wow. So tell me a little about, I'm curious because I didn't know anything about this, this podcast. You mentioned Afford Anything. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
So it's mostly personal finance based, but it's also about optimization. So the host is Paula Pant. She is amazing. I was a fan before I ever worked for her. And so we just touch on a wide variety of subjects. So like, our last podcast that was released yesterday was on Yale and Columbia educated psychologists who talks about the anatomy of anxiety and how that's permeated our lives and steps to improve. Another one that really hit home for me recently, this author named Arthur Brooks, who talks about pivoting in life from it could be from one career to the next and how to optimize your happiness, you know, and along with that, there was an episode on the GameStop revolution, you know? So there's a mix of personal finance as well as like how do you live your best life? It's life is a series of trade-offs, right? So what do you think about? How do you think about things to make sure you're choosing the best set of trade-offs?
Gotcha. Oh, wow. So it's really more, I mean, it sounds like it's a very wide open-ended podcast. Is it more of like a platform as well, or is it just like the podcast, the show, and
No, it's a platform as well. We also have a rental property course.
Cool.
We are very like finance focused. Every other episode, we answer specific, and I keep saying we as if I'm on it. I am not on it. So
you're behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yes. Like, gotcha. I make sure everything gets published, put out, that sort of thing. So every other episode is a series of finance questions that have been brought to us by the audience that Paula and then her co-host for those episodes is a man named Josel Sehi, who's on Stacking Benjamins, another personal finance platform. So it's probably like 60 to 70% finance and then 30% other life stuff, which is really cool because we're in personal finance and real estate to better our lives. If you're just making money and not looking at how to optimize how you're thinking about life and other things you should consider, what is the point of making all this money?
Right.
If you're making all this money.
Yeah, right. If you are, right? That's a big if, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at what point do you see yourself like going full time into real estate? If you do, like, I don't even know. I'm just assuming a lot of people have that kind of financial freedom and I can do whatever I want, whenever I want to just have enough passive income. Is that you? I'm just projecting.
No, my life, it's changed recently. So when I was in corporate full time, I really was unhappy. I was very, very unhappy. And yeah, I was all about let's do real estate full time. I loved real estate and I still do. That being said, one of the things that I really wanted to segue into when I was able to leave corporate was a field where I could help people. Like, that for me used to be more on the like social work side, giving a voice to those who are underrepresented, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I can still see myself doing that. But right now, I really love the ability to help with in the way that I'm doing it. You know, like I firmly believe in the product Afford Anything puts out.
Right.
And I don't know, I really just want to be, I want to be doing real estate, but I also want to be doing something that helps the masses. And currently I'm doing it. So I don't know when I'll want to go to real estate full time. I'm still working towards that because, hey, having options is super important in life. Who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
Like, especially with COVID and everything, like, I think that made people really aware of like their mortality. And so what if something happens and I don't have my health to be able to work full time? Like, what do I do then? You know, so I think I'm still pursuing that aggressively. I want the ability to not have to work to be job optional.
Right.
But I don't have a timeline on that. So
yeah. No, that's awesome. No, for sure. Especially if you're doing what you enjoy doing. I mean, there's no reason to run away from that or escape that. You're not escaping from anything. You're living. And so that's incredible. Are you like actively pursuing, like looking at properties, looking at deals constantly? Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. No, I'm still like all of my free time is still in real estate. I'm working on this month alone. I have two refis, one sale. I'm working on converting 2 to 3 of my units to Airbnbs within the next year. And so there's also like systematic changes. Like, what does that mean for plumbing? What does that mean for like soundproofing? Like, what does that mean for my leases? Like, I'm constantly kind of churning through this to try to figure it out because I want to make the most money that I can and aggressively be job optional. But that doesn't mean I can't enjoy where I'm at. I enjoy where I'm at with other parts of my life now. So
that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's awesome to hear. Amazing to see that, you know, it's a really kind of, I wouldn't say like unique, but it's a different perspective because I have a lot of people I talk to who are just like trying to run away, trying to get away, trying to get full-time real estate, everything like that.
Yeah.
But really, yeah. I mean, for me personally, I invest in real estate. I love it. I'm not like you that I'm like full into it, but I also like really enjoy what I do. So like, I'm not trying to get away from it whatsoever. So, it is a balance. It is always trying to find that balance.
For sure. Sure. And that's a really awesome place to be because that brings you, I think, a little bit more peace, right?
Of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, yeah, balance, you're able to think clearly. You're able to make good decisions and, I mean, live life and enjoy life, you know? That's awesome. Sunita, I want to transition now to what we call the final four. These are four questions that I ask all my guests. And for you, first question is, well, it's for everyone because I ask everyone, but first question, what is the worst job that you ever had?
my last corporate job. So in my exit, I have to be careful what I say. I don't think that they can do anything, but there was a non-disparagement clause, if that gives you any kind of idea.
Anyone who puts something like that in the contract, you know.
So I made sure not to say anything for a long time or for several months, but that was really the toughest for me. It was for Morgier, a company. So my real estate background wasn't a secret. And it was very much, I think, so it was supported by the CEO who was there when I was hired. However, I had a boss who was really tough and who did not support my real estate endeavors. And it's really tough going in every day and having to report to someone who will make fun of you for your extracurricular activities. So like, I didn't enjoy being mocked.
Yeah.
You know, or being mocked in meetings. So that was kind of like, that for me was the last straw. I was hoping to like last a few, little bit longer than I was, that I ended up lasting. Mm-hmm. But that was like the turning point for me where I was like, I need to find a way to leave corporate and support myself and work without this nonsense. Like, why am I being made fun of?
Right.
Yeah. Like, you don't make fun of someone else's personal choices. Do you make fun of like Andrew's child raising theories? No.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so why are you, I didn't even, who, I said nothing, you know. Oh, no. But in the long run, like, I think that all of, if you listen to what's kind of going on and how you feel, you can really use it to better your life. And I was able to recognize that was not what I wanted, and I needed to make a change. And thankfully, the stars aligned for me to be able to lead corporate.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I find it quite ironic that in the company that you were being disparaged at, you have a non-disparagement clause. Right. Yeah, it's funny how that works. But second question, what's a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
I will not say Rich Dad Poor Dad, because everybody does. Tribe of Mentors by Tim Ferriss. I really like that book. So the story behind that is he had like a list of, I think it was like 7 questions that he asked dozens. It might've been over 100 people who are very successful in very different professions. And he shared their answers. And it was actually really interesting. Wow. How so many of them prioritize physical and mental health. Mm. So working out, meditating, visualizing, that sort of thing. So that was really important to me. Definitely not one, I don't incorporate meditating, visualizing nearly enough, but it's something that was really good for me to return to, because like, these people are wildly successful. Obviously, many demand on their time. But this is what's important to them. And this is what helps them be the leaders of their paths.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's so important. I mean, obviously, you have a full childhood and, you know, young adult background in athletics, which I'm sure was very, 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 like, I would say straining on your body, but at the same time, right, the physical.
In your mind.
Yeah, well, that too. I can't even imagine. But what I mean to say is that, you know, that physical health that obviously you kept up. I mean, is it something you've kept up over the years? You still play, or you still any sports,
yeah,
or anything
no,
like
don't
that?
I don't play so much anymore, but like I definitely stay active. I definitely like try to work out at least 4 times a week, which is, it used to be 6 or 7, but when you work a full-time job and you have a business to run, it's hard to get that time. But yeah, I definitely work out regularly, like eat healthy, like all of that. I see a big difference in my ability to perform, mm-hmm. whatever that is, when I don't take care of myself. Like, yeah. I don't eat the right food. I don't have the fuel. I'm lethargic. I'm tired. So
for sure.
Big difference.
Yeah. I think everyone can relate to that. Not everyone realizes that necessarily, but knowing that is obviously the part of the solution. Third question for you is, what is a skill or talent that you would like to learn?
I was terrified of this question, but it just came to me 30 seconds ago. I have like a really bad memory a lot of times. I think it's because I get, my attention span is like minuscule these days. Mm-hmm. So someone will say something and I'll be like, yes. And then I'll turn around and forget immediately. It's like it never happened. So I think if there's one thing I could do well, I would really love to be able to remember things.
There you go. Yeah, that's definitely,
is that
something.
Okay?
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. That's a great, choice. I think there's probably ways to figure out how to do that. Also, there's probably some some books.
Probably should look into that.
There you go. Yeah. Look on Google that, or unless you forget about that after we get off the episode.
Yeah, I probably.
Fourth and final question. What does success mean to you?
It means being able to do what I want. I mean, there's constraints on everything. So it's not like a free range, do whatever you want, but like live the life that I want. You know, whatever brings me the most happiness for me, that looks like being able to read a book and like work out when I want, work when I want, and be able to like travel and just not be constrained to one place. It looks like having a relatively low stress existence and just, yeah, not having to worry too much about like the basic necessities of life. Yeah. I guess I should phrase that better, but for now, that's what you're getting.
Yeah. Okay. No, but not, I understand what
Does
you mean.
That make like
not,
sense?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I totally get what you mean. Like not having to worry about it. Like not,
yeah.
Like the taking care
having,
of it.
Yeah. Not having to worry about when you can work out, not having to stress too much about how you're going to pay for this, not having to stress too much about being able to make changes. Like mm-hmm. you don't have to be stuck in a job with a person that you don't like, if you don't have to, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever that looks like, living life on your terms, I think is what it boils down to.
Awesome. Excellent. Wonderful answer. Where can our listeners find you or reach out to you?
So I have a website, griffixpropertygroup.com. It is out of date. So some of the information hasn't been updated in more than a year. Sorry about that. It's griffixpropertygroup.com. I am a little bit more active on Instagram, which is my handle is SUNI_RAO_ Sunny Rao.
Awesome. So we'll make sure to, yeah, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. And so, yeah, we'll definitely make sure people can find you, because this has been great. I've enjoyed this conversation. I appreciate you making the time.
I went off on a couple tangents. Sorry about that.
That's awesome. No, this is great. I think our listeners are going to really enjoy this, and they probably did, because they're listening now till the end. So if you're still listening and you enjoyed that, then thank you for sticking out. And remember, until next time, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.